Hi, I'm Michael Apple for BizNews.com. The city of Johannesburg was thrown into chaos recently when it became evident cracks were forming in the multi-party coalition government. First, the DA's speaker was voted out with the help of councillors from within the coalition. This resulted in COPE's Colleen Makubele ultimately being voted in as Speaker of Council. She convened an extraordinary sitting of council where Mpho Palatse was ultimately voted out in a motion of no confidence by 139 votes. This entire saga is now the focus of a legal challenge in the High Court in Johannesburg, where Palatse will be arguing to get her job back. The DA's deputy caucus leader in the city is Bongani Nkomo. Bongani, it's good to chat to you again. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. Just a correction there. When you say to get her job back, she never lost it to begin with, but we'll get into that shortly.
Yes, well, that's exactly what the courts will decide. Okay, spell out for me in simple terms why the, I'm going to call her the former mayor, believes her removal was illegal, unlawful, and unconstitutional.
So when we look at council rules, before any items go to council, they need to pass the test of what is called programming. So obviously in the programming committee, there are various other parties. And in fact, there are 14 parties in total that need to, that have representation on programming. But a minimum of 8 councillors need to be there in order for the programming committee to consider any council decisions or to pass any items and give them the thumbs up for council. There weren't 8 councillors in the programming committee. So Councillor Makubele presided over an illegal programming meeting, but we're not surprised. I think her time in council has been characterized by her, flouting council rules. The last time I was here to speak to you about how she was parading herself as the acting speaker of council. So we are not surprised.
Well, I suppose it gets a little bit complicated when you read through the court papers, but this all hinges on the programming committee. And as you've said, there are 14 councillors. You need at least 8 to make up a legal quorum. Was there at any time 8 people sitting in that programming committee who ultimately decided that the motion of no confidence would be tabled and voted upon in that extraordinary sitting?
So the simple answer is no. That is the first and clear answer. And how we got to get that information is that obviously we sent a representative from Action SA, which was the party allocated to go see that the programming committee was above board. He was there. He observed exactly what I'm telling you now. And the meeting was not correct. But another issue that we have is that you're obviously calling a programming meeting for the Thursday, and you're expecting councillors to sit on the Friday. Now, there's a rule in council that that prescribes that councillors must be given 72 hours before any council meeting, and obviously between Thursday and Friday, it's a far stretch.
Yeah, you can't squeeze 72 hours into 24. But is that a legal requirement, or is that a nice to have and a accommodation to councillors?
Well, this is I'm literally reading from the council rule book. It's not, these aren't rules and regulations that are there for convenience and for people to decide whether to abide by them or not. These are there just like the coalition agreement to basically dictate how you proceed and how you move forward in certain situations. And that situation was a programming meeting. And the second situation was a council meeting, which speaks to the 72 hours.
So if the programming committee's sitting is deemed unlawful and everything that flowed from it is similarly nullified, including voting out Dr. Palatse and voting in Dada Morero, is that the general argument the former mayor is now taking, that it's fruit of the poison tree, everything that came from that programming committee?
Obviously, on Friday, we try to get an urgent interdict to stop the meeting from actually taking place. I think the last time we were in a similar situation, we were actually successful. But unfortunately, because of the haste that the meeting was conducted, obviously, Colleen had one mandate, and that's to get the ANC through the back door and obviously, put this coup, because we need to call it like it is, it's a coup, through the motions. So we couldn't obviously succeed on the basis of an urgent interdict. obviously fast forward to today, we're now sticking to the same principles, but it needs to be considered not on an urgent basis, but on the basis that I'm describing now. But the fact is, whatever happened in that meeting, which was unlawful to begin with, needs to be undone. And that's what we're basically appealing to the courts to do once again, with this particular speaker at the helm.
You'll have your critics, everybody does, who say the DA needs to learn how to accept defeat with a little bit of grace and that this is sour grapes. What would be your response to that?
Well, I think first and foremost, if we accept this particular situation, then we are complicit in an unlawful council meeting. We've got residents which we've committed to fighting for. We've got residents who have indicated to us time and time again that they reject the ANC. In fact, if you look at the ANC's results over the last couple of elections, they tell you a story. And if we roll over and just accept what the ANC are trying to manufacture, and that's a coup through the back door with the assistance of Colleen, then we are no good as the ANC.
But this all goes back to several councillors within your multi-party coalition voting against their partners to oust your speaker, which then paves the way for Colleen Makobele to become the new speaker and on your version bulldozes through a motion of no confidence in the mayor. Gayton McKenzie's Patriotic Alliance turns out to be an untrustworthy partner and votes against the DA. But the party that the DA is scrapping with the most in the public sphere, Action SA, actually voted to save the mayor. What is going on between you two? I can tell you, sir, from an outside perspective, it's not a good look.
Sure. Look, I think it's a regrettable situation that we are in. But I think our fight, and I'll speak for the DA, as much as we have a number of Action SA people who come from the DA, I can't exactly tell you what they're thinking. But our fight is basically one of principle. If you look at between 2016 and 2019, where we which was the first dress rehearsal for coalitions, there were a lot of lessons that we learned from them, and one of those lessons was that we need a strong blueprint that's basically going to help us navigate the challenges that we know that we've experienced in 2016. And that basically prompted the coalition partners to sit down and come to an agreement. An agreement which everybody signed, an agreement that not only impacts Joburg, but is interconnected with Ekurhuleni, with Tshwane, and obviously Joburg. And if we are going to sit back and allow our coalition partners to dictate to us when that agreement must be changed, and just to reiterate, the agreement makes provisions for renegotiations of whatever positions or alignment of power that the coalition partners want to see. But we feel that it's not negotiating on good faith if the speaker's head is on the chopping block and our coalition partners are holding a gun to our heads and are trying to get a sweeter deal. I said speaker, but I meant if the mayor's head is on the chopping block, then it doesn't help. It helps no one that we are going to negotiate right there and there. And then there's obviously the misconception that we've been unreasonable and we are, you know, we are playing to the big brother syndrome and we're trying to bulldoze everything. I think residents of Joburg must understand the amount of negotiation and compromise that took place behind the scenes. For instance, we fielded Vasco da Gama, and I think before we proceed, we must agree that irrespective of whether it's an Action SA speaker or it's a DA speaker sitting in front of the council, the ANC and the EFF are still going to give that particular person a hard time. So what we expected is for us to unite and rally behind this person. But nonetheless, they rejected Vasco as a candidate. We came with an alternative candidate. And then they came back to say, but no, the balance, there's no balance of powers. We actually need the IFP or the PA to have a speaker's to have the speaker's seat. So you can see that we're negotiating, but goalposts are changing. They keep changing, and they keep changing in the presence of a signed coalition agreement. So I think for us, we do apologize for the residents of the city of Joburg, but this if we don't want to see more of this happening in 2024, we need to get it right now. And I think this was a lesson for us, and it should be a lesson for Action SA as well.
There's a crass expression that comes to mind here, and tell me if it's the correct one. If you give somebody a pinky, they're going to take the hand. Is that the concern here?
So it's not the concern. It's in fact the reality that we saw playing out. So for instance, the initial departure point was give the IFP the speaker position, and then the PA came and they said, on top of that, we want two MMC positions. And in fact, they went on to say, we no longer want health. We want economic development, which is currently occupied by Action SA. And then Action SA said, but we don't want health either. We want development planning, which is occupied by the DA. So DA, you take health. So how do you negotiate in a situation like that? We can't negotiate under duress. That's not what we expect from partners at a time where we need each other to be united and at a time where we need to be putting the city of Joburg first and its residents. But instead, clearly, we're putting positions first.
Okay, so even when your partners are saying to you, let's have horse trading here, you take health, you take economic development. So once there's one change, there's a chain reaction and everybody wants to start renegotiating. Now, are there lessons being learned here around flexibility is required? Even though a coalition agreement is an agreement, everybody signs on the dotted line. Are you doubling down on that thinking or are you in future going to introduce some flexibility?
As I said, I think this coalition agreement was put together to help us navigate through the challenges we learned in 2016. And you've mentioned something very critical. And what you've mentioned is that there's a chain reaction. So as I've said, it's not just about Joburg. This whole coalition agreement was put together with the bigger picture in mind. And that bigger picture was Ekurhuleni, Joburg and Tshwane. We're not against negotiating. We've never been against negotiating, but we are saying the time needs to be right so that we can look at the entire agreement and come up with a solution that basically benefits not only the coalition, but the city of Joburg. But I can tell you that the coalition agreement in principle is really there to assist, because when the tables were turned and Action SA had to give away a portfolio, then you can see the problems that arose there. And all of a sudden now the big brother had to accommodate everybody else. And we are saying that we're not opposed to accommodating people and moving forward and progress. But the time that you are coming to us now with these proposals, not conducive to building a long-term relationship.
Okay, let's say Dr. Palate is successful in court and everything is reversed. She is once again the mayor, as you say she is currently. Colleen Mokobele is still the speaker. There is a full quorum in the programming committee and the motion of no confidence is tabled. It goes to a sitting. The numbers, 139 to 131 in a 270 council, the numbers are against you. Would they still be against you even if you reverse this whole process and the mayor gets voted out anyway?
So I think what our residents or South Africa can't forget is that we're still a political party, and politics is what we are able to still do as much as we are renowned for delivery. But what has taken place now, obviously, the first thing that needs to happen is that we need to introspect, because there are things that have been mentioned by our partners that obviously we can do better. We understand that, and we are happy to do that. The second thing that we need to introspect about is the general coalition agreement in terms of our partners, and that speaks to consolidating first what we have. And what I mentioned about politics is that I can't give away too much now, but we are open to speaking to our partners. And obviously, I think the priority here is retaining the city and keeping it away from the ANC. What that looks like, we'll have to wait and see, but we are determined to ensure that we get over the line.
All right, so it's very much a watch this space kind of moment we're in. The court case will be heard on the 11th of October, that is next week, Tuesday. Bongani Nkomo, I'd like to thank you as always for your time.